other printing paraphernalia, and his personal things into the fevered gulch in the San Juan Mountains, where an incredible bonanza of silver glance, a sulfide ore combined with galena, had been discovered 3 years earlier. Sam Flint preferred to start weekly papers in places that had none. But this time he itched to do the world a favor. It appalled him that journalism contained more than a few Digby Westminsters, men who had crawled out from under some rock to represent the alleged conscience of their victimized community. Flint laughed at himself. There were more than a few who considered Flint himself a species akin to Digby Westminster. Many a frontier town considered high-minded editors the brethren of rattlesnakes. Maybe Silver City would be like that. There was something to be said for a town getting the newspaper it deserved. If this brawling place enjoyed Westminster's condescending jokes about pathetic women, or his ridicule of working men, then Flint would not survive long. But he was used to that. He'd started up weeklies in 7 or 8 places in 12 years, never putting down roots. He rarely lasted long. Sometimes it was because the town defeated him. Once in a while he got bored after transforming a cow town into something almost civilized. More often it was because he grew restless, the itch upon him again to move along, and then he would sell out if he could, or shut down if he couldn't, pack up his wagon and hit the road. The big, lean editor gave the mules 20 minutes, and then slapped his lines over their croups. They lowered into their harnesses and tugged the creaking wagon forward, their tails mowing down flies, and their long mule ears rotating this way and that. With each mile, the mountains grew. To a son of Cincinnati, the western mountains were always a source of awe and visual delight. These had arid, brown lower reaches, but dense green timber, often appearing black from a distance, crowded their upper slopes almost to the rocky escarpments that formed their rugged peaks, streaked with the first snows of fall. He had never been to western Colorado, and he found its southern precincts almost as arid and rough as New Mexico, and with the same grand vistas. A traveler could see into tomorrow and drive into the week ahead, always with the same vast landscape in view. But as much as Flint loved the sight of noble, distant ranges, he didn't much care to live in the mountains, hemmed in by steep walls of rock. The trace followed a murky creek that exuded sharp odors and carried green scum along its surface. He didn't doubt that this was the cloaca of Silver City, carrying out of town the sewage of 4,000 people. The gulch's yellow walls catapulted upward hundreds of feet and grew ever closer together, like a giant vise clamping life between its jaws. In places, the trace narrowed to the point where opposing traffic could not pass, and more than once Flint stopped to let travelers by. A Concord stagecoach drawn by 3 spans of mustangs, Pittsburgh wagons drawn by 6 yoke of slavering oxen, ore wagons tugged by pairs of mules, a 1-horse spring wagon. He didn't mind, he was in no hurry, and the stops gave him a chance to study the men of the Silver Camp.